We're talking about e-books and e-publishing, and it's really wonderful to have to be joined by Anna and Christopher Bachalder of Bonn Education, and Mary Ames, who's a writer and educator also with Bonn Education. They're talking about their first series that's just been recently launched. It's The Adventures of BB and Sam, and it's The Return of the Champion is the first one, where the friends travel to Thailand. It's a great interactive e-book, and is I know you're hoping it's going to be really launched not just for personal use with parents, a great interactive parent add-on to it, but also going to be hopefully in schools as well, because it's a wonderful way to learn about history and geography. I'd like to just a few more details about it, because you start in Thailand, don't you? And I think this was, it's a great way to travel the world, isn't it? Oh yeah, we're off on business, because we've got to do our book. Where to next? You know, you were in Thailand, weren't you, on holiday? Was it on holiday, or was it kind of work holiday, where you took lots of pictures?
A working holiday,
yeah, yeah, right. And they were all uploaded as part of the book itself, yeah, weren't they? And so this is going to be a much wider series. I mean, where are you thinking of going next? Or is that all under wraps?
Well, we're not committing, but we definitely want to do something in the Middle East.
Yeah.
May or may not be close to where we are currently sitting.
Okay. Okay. So that could be possibly the next one for you. Right. And Mary, what's your sort of involvement been within this whole book?
So I came on board with Bonn Education to start helping with writing BB and Sam. So
because you're a published author, I think, from the age of 12. Is that correct?
Yeah.
This is incredible.
To a magazine that I subscribed to as a 12-year-old. I wrote an essay about my best friend and they published it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, it's been writing has been in the back of my mind as a wish list kind of job for a long time. And then when I came out with Bonn Education, they had just gotten back from Thailand and were like, hey, we have this book series we want to write. And so we dove right in and started brainstorming BB and Sam and kind of how their adventures would unfold, and especially how the characters would unfold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was really great because Mary and I sort of engaged in a collaborative writing process,
right,
which was really fun. So we would brainstorm story ideas and then go home and write different sections and come back and see what the other person had come up with, and then and rehash them. So it was a really fantastic creative experience to work that way.
And how much actual reading is on the book itself?
I'd say it's about 100 pages, so it's a standard short chapter book for a third to fifth grade, and then the rest of the pages are filled with interactive photos and videos and audio and things like that. So it comes out in about 200 pages on the iPad.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So there still is a significant amount of actual reading going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
And that was very intentional. We wanted this to be a reading literacy experience.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not just pushing buttons and interactive and
That's right.
Games and things like that. Yeah. But I think what we'd like to perhaps make one or two, I know Alexandra has experience in this as well, it's about publishing or self-publishing. Mm. I mean, would you say that you self-published this, or how does it actually work? How did you publish it? Does this kind of work the same way?
It's definitely self-published, at least at the moment, yeah.
And you decided to go down that route because you felt that would be the sort of best way for you to have control, possibly, over your product.
Definitely, yeah. I think we wanted to dive in. We wanted to have complete creative and editorial control just from the start, and see where it develops, see how it goes.
I would say in the long run, we are exploring a lot of options, especially as you want to get into schools. It may make sense to work with publishers, so we're talking to people, but at the moment it's definitely self-pub.
And you don't feel that you need to be with a particular publisher in terms of marketing, as you said, in terms of access, globally?
In the long run, maybe. Mm. It's something we're still exploring. It's a relatively new space, so we're kind of talking to a number of our personal advisors in publishing investment and self-publishing spaces.
I mean, the reason why I'm asking, I'm just wondering how big is it? Has it grown? Is it possible for people to just self-publish and they're not just self-published, don't give me that look, but to actually just rely on that as
There's
a
list
in
of 145 authors who have sold over 50,000 books on Kindle. 145 authors have sold over 50,000 books. J.D. Conrath makes more than most mid-list authors, in fact, any mid-list author in the world today. Amanda Hocking has sold millions and millions of books.
Yes, but there are also millions and millions of books out there. I mean, these are great examples, but... How many books have made real money out of self-publishing?
Gone are the days that you need someone who's an expert in telling people what books to buy. That's what we have the internet for now. So word of mouth, Twitter, Facebook means you can self-publish and be just as successful as the big boys.
Just in case,
and get a lot more of your money back.
Just in case you thought you're going to make money publishing, 98% of books in print sell less than 500 copies. 99% of authors do not make a living out of writing. You ain't going to buy the luxury yacht and the beautiful Learjet out of being an author. It's not going to happen.
Have you just found that out, Alexander?
I found that out.
The hard way.
I found that out 10 years ago.
Yeah. Some do, of course.
Oh, of course some said. Do.
Well, I mean, not everybody.
The lady behind Pottermore.
Well, yeah, she's always the great example, isn't she? But it was interesting. There was an article, I think it was in The Guardian, it was saying Amazon versus newspaper, which is more valuable review? And that's obviously very, very important as well, to give books that great review out there, which can make and break a book, you know.
Amazon.
And
Amazon.
So you'll get
Amazon is more important.
Amazon is much more important.
If I read a great review in The Guardian and I go to Amazon to buy it and there's a one-star pants review from 23 people, I ain't buying that book.
Yeah.
It was very interesting when we did market research for a book too. Again, all those conversations we had with parents, we said, where do you go to, because kids that are age 8 to 11, they have to ask their parents before they buy a digital book or a physical book. And they said, most of them said, we get reviews from two places. One is Teacher.
Yeah.
Two is Amazon.
Okay, that's interesting.
The other piece is, as we're looking how to promote the book, it's blog tours. So no longer going to physical stores, but touring blogs. Yeah, and giving different interviews to different influential bloggers in the, the children's book space.
The blog sphere is also very, very powerful, reviewing a review of books.
Yeah, that's... When you self-publish, at least at first, there's a lot of work you need to do in terms of the self-promotion. And so we've been, working on that, reaching out to children's books reviewers, parent blogs, things like that, global travel blogs. Because the more book reviews you have, at least initially, we need to get a lot of people reading it so that they tell their friends and et cetera, et cetera.
Tom makes a brilliant point. It's no longer about the man telling you what to read. It's no longer about that limited selection from big publishers. It's no longer about making authors go through hoops of fire to meet the requirements of the gatekeeper. This is about egalitarianism. This is a new revolution.
Yeah, but it was interesting. There was a story now this was last year, but I believe it was Jan Martel, the author of The Life of Pi and another book, I can't remember the name of it. Extremely. He was just all over the place. We did so well with that book. And his latest book, I guess, I can't remember the name. I know it's about a donkey and a monkey. Great book. Virgil and Beatrice, that's it. And he had a bad review I can't remember which one it was, but it was a sort of a mainstream newspaper, and a critic in one of the newspapers, very, very highly revered, got a bad review. And he went on to Twitter and blogs and started really going like, it's not fair, why are you doing this? Because he said it really, really damaged the sales of his books. Mm-hmm. So he sort of, again, took up in arms against this one guy. Basically, our whole argument was, how can one guy working for one newspaper make such an impact on my book? And it's just not fair that people are listening to him. So
sold 7 million copies.
Crimea River.
No,
really.
But he was making a point though about make and break, and this is how it used to be, I suppose. He said it doesn't seem to be that way anymore, but that these critics for newspapers, such as the Times and the Guardian in the UK, were very, very powerful. The restaurant critics can close a restaurant with a bad review. They can close a show and theatre with a bad review, just as they could with a bad review of a book. And it seems that this, obviously, as you said, is becoming a lot more sort of egalitarian, but the people are looking now in different spaces for different.
But this is why I think.
Is it a good idea or not? Are you going to listen to a Joe Blogs on a blog sphere about if they've got
I think publishers will come into it. I think because it's egalitarian, because I can write a book, we could all decide right now to write a book and publish it in the next hour. That means that we have many, many books. Most of them aren't very good. If you look at, if you use app stores, Google's got a lovely app store, it's just full of kind of trash. And there are a few good apps. So how do you find, how do you find the jewels amongst all the sand, if you will? And that's where I think, you have publishers who will basically put their name to something because they know its quality. So if I go to Josh and Mal's bookstore in the online space, I know that they will represent authors and books that they feel are good, and so I don't have to sift through 100 bad reviews to find one good book.
So it's up to then the publisher then.
Well, that's where it's going.
I mean, the percentage of great stuff versus the percentage of garbage is probably the same. There's just 10 times more stuff out there. You know, there's 10 times as many books, 100 times whatever quantum you want to look at, how much more stuff is being published. But the percentage of the great stuff versus the garbage is probably more or less the same. Discovery becomes the key aspect, and I mean, I think this is what Amazon has its way of doing discovery. One route to that is reviews, and one route is people who looked at this also bought this, or people who bought this also bought that. Or we send you, they send you an email, hey, we saw you looking at this stuff a couple of days ago, just want to remind you, these are the new books for this guy. But, you know, they have their tools, and bookstores have their tools. Bookstores do a combination of listening to what publishers recommend to them, making their own decisions about what has done well in the past and what we expect will do well in the future, and then it comes down to how we merchandise it in the store. What sits in the window, what sits in the front of the store, what sits on the bestseller wall, what sits what goes into our newsletter, what gets promoted online, what doesn't get promoted online, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So everybody has a variety of different tools to aid discovery. And I mean, I think one of the interesting things of the, you know, developments in the ebook space in the last week was the partnership between Waterstones and Amazon that was announced, where Waterstones had been, it was a kind of an open secret, working with another provider for their ebook solution, and then did a 180 degree turn and decided to work with Amazon.
Got them in their store now, and they've got Wi-Fi and everything. Anyway, we've just got to hold that thought there, because I know that we were talking off air, weren't we, earlier with Alexandra about this story, and you were just saying it was an absolute ridiculous
idea. It's the death of Waterstones, as far as I can see.
No, I disagree with you.
Well, good.
Brilliant.
We love it.
After the news, bring it on.